wins a fight.
Welcome into another edition of Box Office Quarterbacks. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We are reviewing two movies, Roadhouse from the 80s, Roadhouse from 2024. It is Roadhouse versus Roadhouse, and it is Roadhouse. Roadhouses. Me, Jeff, and my friend Ahmed. Ahmed, both of us watched these movies for the first time. I think you watched the original first, then went into the new one. I watched the new one and went into the old one. Initial reactions, though, for both of these movies.
Okay, so the old one is cheesy, which, you know, 80s movies, blood sport, and everything like that. We know they're cheesy, so it's acceptable. It's also quite tolerably entertaining for its time, and that's why it's understandable how it's a cult classic. Whereas this new version gave me Bollywood Indian cinema vibes, which is not a compliment. I mean, it's over the top. The exaggeration is crazy, which is very sad because I am a fan of Indian cinema. But it's moments like this where I'm ashamed, and I'm ashamed that I spent 2 hours watching this movie, the new movie, and I really hope to God it doesn't ruin Jake Gyllenhaal's career, because he clearly worked hard on his body. He talks about how much he dedicated himself to training with an ex-UFC fighter. So obviously he put in the work, you know, took it seriously. And these people, whoever made this movie, everyone, I'm sorry, but you guys missed the ball really hard.
It reminded me of like a CBS show, like CSI Florida Keys or some shit. I don't know. Scratchy would agree with you.
She knocked over the microphone. That's how badly she.
Yes, was not a fan. The Patrick Swayze movie is slightly better. Like I get it as a cult classic and everything. The thing I kept landing on, though, was why go back to the bar every single night if all this shit's going to happen? Just go to a different bar. Like, yeah, especially in the Patrick Swayze movie, I think like they were just outside of Kansas City is where that one was set. So I do like Patrick Swayze more in the role of Dalton compared to Jake Gyllenhaal. And I like Jake Gyllenhaal, but there are things that one version of this movie did better than the other and vice versa. How would you put the protagonists? Let's pit them together first. Patrick Swayze, Jake Gyllenhaal, who did you think played the better Dalton of the Roadhouses?
So I liked how they from the get-go, showcase John Dalton, played by Patrick Swayze, how they kind of show him to be this mysterious figure, but he's clearly a badass because nobody wants to fuck with him. Nobody wants to take him down. And then 26 minutes into the movie, you do see him fight, but you get a glimpse. All you see is him just smash someone's face in, and you're like, oh, damn. But in that first 3 minutes of the movie, you see him get stabbed, and he just like doesn't even flinch.
Yeah.
Whereas here it's like, okay, you know, they don't want to fight him, but then they have to show him smack some people around, and you don't see him fight as much. I think you maybe see Jake Gyllenhaal fight three times until the big showdown, which very much disappointed me. Why put in all that work showing off your body if you're going to give it to these new guys, these younger dudes, which is fine, but they didn't even flesh out their stories. So it was like, it's hard to even put them together because we got a chance to know Patrick Swayze's character way more. You know, we don't even know Jake Gyllenhaal's motivation. They kept alluding to it with these random flashbacks, but you get to know who Patrick Swayze's character is way more. Even the whole "you killed a guy" thing. Towards the end, Jake Gyllenhaal just becomes full on Rambo. So,
yeah, he just straight up starts murdering people. I mean, so does Patrick Swayze, but I did not like the UFC backstory for Elwood Dalton, which is a stupid first name. But what does that even mean? Is he like a elf from Lord of the Rings. Like, I have no idea, but it just makes the movie seem dated to me. And it obviously just came out, but anything, it's like, hey, is UFC even going to be popular in 20 years? Like, it's predating the movie before it even happens.
Well, but that's the whole thing. He's an ex-UFC fighter, but he's still very much feared. So, like, what happened? Did he lose his job as a fighter, and this is what he's got to resort to? I mean, I'm confused. What's the big deal? And then the fact that the guy's like, oh, you know, the internet, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, no shit, the internet exists. We can pull up anything. So what does this mean? Like, is he banished? Should he be in jail? Did he beat the case? And what about the person he killed? Because the guy's like, the main villain who, God, I can't think of a more stupider villain than Conor McGregor's character, but also the main like billionaire, you know, boat guy. Like,
that guy was horrible. He was horrible. Kylo
Ren from Star Wars was an incompetent villain. No, this guy takes the cake.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the villains. I do like Patrick Swayze better, but as Dalton, but let's talk about the villains, because we're segueing into it. You know, in the original, you have pretty much the same story. A guy who has control over the town. He's taken a cut from all the stores. This one, you have a guy whose dad is taking the cut from all these people in the town. He's running drugs out of the roadhouse. And I think Billy Magnuson is the guy who plays him. He is so over the top. Like, he's obviously trying to do a throwback to 80s villains. But that part where he's on the boat and it's rocking and he insists on that guy giving him a shave was just the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Right, because it's making him look stupid and he's not taking himself seriously. It's too much. Like, I couldn't tell you what genre this movie is. Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? Is it an action movie? And the fact that it calls itself an adrenaline fueled action movie, I feel is unfair. It's very, very, very lackluster.
Let's talk about Conor McGregor, because holy crap, that was horrible. That is maybe the worst acting performance I've seen in the last 10 years. That is saying something.
Conor McGregor doesn't deserve this amount of hate. It's not his fault. I know he was trying his best. He was trying to play a psychopath. Kudos to him. But it just didn't work. It doesn't work. Because his including him is so random. Because it's not his fight. The fact that it's the guy's dad who hires him, who we never see. We don't even know why, you know, his dad is pissed off. How does he know that his son is screwing up from inside a prison cell? You know, yes. It's all so confusing. And then, spoiler alerts, we're gonna save you guys 2 hours.
Four hours, Conor McGregor, if you do a double feature like us.
Oh God. Conor McGregor ends up killing the kid anyway, the pretty boy supervillain kills him. So it's like, okay, so now what?
Yes.
Like, he just goes, you talk too much. Like, okay, so now what? And so Jake Gyllenhaal kills him for no reason. Like, why do they hate each other?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
I did like his death scene, Conor McGregor's, like, where he gets the two pool sticks stabbed, like, into him. I thought that was cool, but, like, I didn't even know it was the final showdown. Because here's the thing. Final showdowns happen at night in action movies. Like, make it dramatic, make it happen at night. If it's the middle of the day, I was like, what is this, fucking Tuesday afternoon? Like, what are we doing here? Like, and I mean, I guess the final showdown in Roadhouse 1 is also during the day, but you're set in this creepy ass mansion of the main bad guy, and you're getting taxidermy polar bears pushed onto henchmen, and I like that better. And then the town comes in and start shooting this guy that's been terrorizing them for years. I like that ending a lot better.
Yeah, and it's also, you understand why, it's all fiction, it's all bullshit, so obviously there's no reality in it, but for the sake of time and daytime and all that, didn't his Sam Elliott, who could not have played a better supporting character, gets killed? So naturally, it doesn't matter what time of day, you killed my best friend, my surrogate father. I don't care what time of day it is. My second dinner, my second lunch can wait, god damn it.
Yes. And that brings us, Ahmed, to our next category. If you're scoring at home, Roadhouse 1 wins both best protagonist, best villains, and now we're going to go to best supporting characters. The thing that really stands out to me is there is no Sam Elliott in the Jake Gyllenhaal version. There is no mentor. There is no best friend to motivate him to enact revenge. And that's really what held the second one back even more, in my opinion.
Right. There were too many different storylines that were too hard to keep up with. Too many characters. I also don't appreciate meta for the sake of meta. Like, we understand that it's supposed to be a Western-inspired movie. That's why we can appreciate the first Roadhouse. And the fact that they're trying to go, oh, this sounds like blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, get on with it. Who cares? We've already signed up for this shit. Like Fast and Furious. Those action movies are supposed to be cheesy. Those death gravity-defying, we know. You don't have to point it out to us.
Yes.
That's why I didn't like Fast X when they're like, I think we're superheroes because we never die. Shut up. Just drive.
Go to space again.
Go to space again.
Yeah. Like my wife pointed out that a lot of characters in the Jake Gyllenhaal version were like non-playable characters in a video game. Like he shows up in the Florida Keys and the first thing that happens is the little girl runs up to him and starts explaining the history of Ernest Hemingway and the town, and I was like, where does this happen in real life?
Okay, and then he just keeps on coming back. Meanwhile, the dad's nowhere to be found, so why do these characters matter?
Oh, just so you could get that book. Here's the book. Take this along on your journey. Like the supporting characters, even in the bar, like they have no personality. Like you said, like the other bouncers are better in the first movie where it's like, hey, I'm going to fire these guys because they're not doing their job. And
that's
it's
how
just,
the, yeah,
it's just two dudes in this new one. And let's talk about the love interest because,
thank you.
It's pretty much the same concept. It's Dalton has to go to the hospital after being stabbed. He meets the doctor who lives there and has ties to the main bad guy. I think the love interest in the first movie was better. I think her tie to having her uncle being under the thumb of the bad guy was better than the daughter of the sheriff being corrupt or whatever happened.
Sheriff like works with the guy. But then like what was weird was I noticed this in the fight scene with the young bad guy and the doctor when she's trying to fight him, you because I have subtitles on. He's like, I told you, and she's like yelling at him, she's hitting him. It's like, do you two know each other or some shit?
Yeah, did they date on this one? Like they don't explain
it. Make way more sense. I mean, I don't understand why that had to be a dynamic, especially whenever like the dad, who is later revealed to be the father, whenever he's like, you don't see his face. It's blurred on purpose. And he's just like, threatening him, blah, blah, blah. Do you have a death wish? And then he gets out of the car and it's this big reveal, but it's like, we don't know who he is.
It's just this some is guy.
It's some guy. Oh God. It's that one guy. You know what I mean? Like at least, okay. Spider-Man Homecoming. When they did the villain reveal, when they open the door, when he's waiting and it's so sweet, he's got the corsage, and then he opens the front door and it's Michael fucking Keaton. you're like, oh shit. And that's the oh shit moment we have. There was no oh shit moment. There's just a what the fuck is this moment.
There is one supporting character that I do like better than the original Roadhouse, and that would be the owner of the Roadhouse. I do like Frankie better than the original Frank. I think she has more charisma, and I love that actress in Shrinking on Apple with Harrison Ford. Yeah. I think she's very charming, because the original Frank is just some old guy who stands there creepily in the background and like, yeah. Like, dude, your bar is terrible because you don't do anything. You stand there and watch all this shit happen. Like, say something.
Patrick Swayze. You could call, what's that guy? John Tafferty from Bar Rescue. And he could fix this shit right away.
Yes. And the thing I'm thinking of with both these bars, I was like, wouldn't it just make sense if you opened earlier and closed earlier? Like if you did a 9 to 7 PM opening and then you're not open at 12 a.m. when everything's going down. I don't know. I don't run a bar, but that's just me.
And I mean, it's just basic movie science, you know, mafia guys don't wake up until 8 p.m. So, so you catch them just, you know,
they're basically vampires.
They're basically vampires.
Yes.
But oh my God. No. And also, do people forget that guns exist in these universes?
Yeah, I mean, a gun probably could have made these movies a lot shorter. There's no, like, they're not patting them down when they're getting into the bar. I know that. I'll tell you that right now.
No, and that was another thing. At least in the first Roadhouse movie, you had guys there that, like, could hold their own. Whereas you've got these two guys, like, wait, they know how to fight? Or is he teaching them how to fight? I'm confused.
You know how hard it is to learn how to fight? You're telling me that these guys who have never fought before are learning all these moves in 3 days and they're remembering all of this shit? Like,
yeah,
it makes no sense.
Oh, that guy has a knife under his shirt. Take a step back when he reaches for it and just pop him in the face. And then he does it and it's like, does your fist not hurt or something like that? Like, I don't understand how this works.
Yeah. Before we get to our final ranking, we do have to talk about the setting of both these movies. They're set in two different places. One would be Missouri for the first movie and for the Florida Keys for the second. This is the only area where I think the second movie does win out. I do like the tropical setting. I like that Dalton lives in a boat. I love the crocodile attack scene, even though it's so random. I think the Florida Keys.
I think it's actually filmed in Dominican Republic.
Okay.
If it is, that would explain the blue waters and everything, because it looks very beautiful. I'm sorry. I don't think Florida looks like that. No shade to Florida. But yeah. I'm pretty sure Florida doesn't look like the Dominican Republic.
No, that makes sense. I was like, damn, Florida's a lot nicer than I remembered it to be.
Hey, we don't need Florida man coming after us in this episode. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so that setting, I think like a beach set roadhouse, I liked a little bit better than like a Missouri whatever. I don't know. It just lent to more of the action sequences. So that's where I would give the second movie a leg up. But
yeah, the cinematography is a little bit better. But that's kind of a given. You know, we've got way more technology now. So if it didn't have quality shots like that, that would be a problem. But where it succeeded in cinematography and photographic direction, it lacked in original storytelling, character development, and just overall storytelling. I mean, good Lord, what the? Like, you had one job. Just try not to, you know, do everything the way the original did. You had a good opportunity with the UFC fighter background, but what was the point in including Post Malone, including this random? Yeah. What was the
point? That was random as shit. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, you could have done a lot more with a lot less, but you had all these different random characters. Their stories weren't properly developed. He's like, oh, I was just looking to find a library or a computer. It's 2024. How do you not have a computer or a a phone. You know what I mean?
And then they never explain that. Like, why is he poor now? Like, right. He lives in his car. It would have made more sense. It would be a two line throwaway thing where it's like, yeah, I went to prison after I killed that guy in the ring and I lost everything.
And I've got nightmares from it all.
Yes. And I have to run this scam at this bar and make money that way.
And he also got money from that experience too.
That's true.
So it's like, I don't know. Yeah. And she's like, I could pay you good money. But he's like, I'm only going to live in this effing dump of a boat. Like, come on. At least Patrick Swayze was like willing to negotiate. He's like, 2,000 up front, 500 a night. And then how much does he pay for rent? $100 a month? Give me a break.
It's a nice ass barn too. Yeah. It has a big window though. So like they were like banging in that scene. And I was like, they're going to like close the blinds or something? Because that old man could just be down there.
He banged on the rooftop.
They did.
So we're talking about, you know, the efforts that these two actors, Jake Gyllenhaal and Patrick Swayze, respectively, put on their physical well-being. Patrick Swayze, you know, broke a bunch of ribs and everything like that, especially during the final scene. Apparently, Conor McGregor actually punched Jake Gyllenhaal in the face.
That seems on brand, yeah.
That seems on brand, yeah.
Yeah, he is a crazy person, so.
So it's like, you know, this is not, you know, this should not be a stain on Jake Gyllenhaal as an actor. Jake Gyllenhaal, this, you know, he's still an amazing actor. I really hope that people won't. We can forgive him for Bubble Boy. We can forgive him for this. God damn it.
I mean, if anything, this movie did prove that he could be a good Batman, because he has come out in interviews this week saying, hey, I would still like to play Batman. And he almost was in Batman Begins way back when. So he has the physique. He is still a good actor when given the right script. I do think that he would make a good Batman. Him or Jensen Ackles would probably be top of my list. But
I think he would be good for a Batman Beyond. And let me tell you why. Patrick Swayze was 37 in Roadhouse whenever he filmed it. 36, 37. Jake Gyllenhaal is 43 now.
Holy crap.
Right. Ooh. But because Jake Gyllenhaal has incredible genes, he doesn't look that way. But that being said, I think Jake Gyllenhaal, if he just, you know, dyed his hair a little bit, you know, with like a little silver, he could play an amazing Batman Beyond.
Yeah, just give him a good script, let him cook. Let's talk about our
script.
That's all he needs. That's all he needs. And Jake, stop accepting bad movies, okay? Don't do it anymore.
You're
Jake
better Gyllenhaal. Than this. You're
you are better than this. Let's get to our final rankings of both these movies, Ahmed. I think I'm going to start the original Roadhouse, and I am going to bench the new one.
Oh, you're a lot nicer. I'll give the original a starter, but I'm going to cut the new one. And it's only because I could have gone my entire life without knowing this movie existed. I saw the trailer. The trailer lied to me. And for that reason, I will never watch another trailer again. He said, probably, you know, going to the movies in 2 days and saying, I can't wait to see the trailers of what's going to come out next.
Yes. Man, those trailer editors, they really know how to get you.
They do.
They do. Yeah. I mean, if you have not seen any of these movies, you know what happens now, 25 minutes in. But start with the original. And if you want to waste 2 hours when you're sick home from work, maybe that's the way to watch Roadhouse 2024. Anything else you want to add, though, Ahmed, before we get out of here?
Roadhouse.
That's Roadhouse.
That's it.
I just imagine Peter Griffin saying Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Scratchy. Roadhouse. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, this has been a fun edition of Box Office Quarterbacks. We'll be back soon with Kong and Godzilla. That comes out in the next week. But I'm Jeff. That's my friend Ahmed. That is Scratchy. We will talk to you guys very, very soon.